a time when things are shifting. There's going to be a new world order out there. And we've got to lead it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
Well, this is End Time Headlines, and welcome to the broadcast today. It is Tuesday, the 12th of April, and it is half past the 1 p.m. Eastern time zone. We want to welcome you to the broadcast today. Again, if you are new to the broadcast, please let us know in the comments section below on whatever platform you're watching, either live or by the rebroadcast of this, and let us know where you guys are joining us from. As always, we would love to hear from you. Again, I'm Ricky Scapero, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines. And today, I want to talk about two articles that caught my attention, and I believe they are great topics of talking points, and we're going to put them both in one segment today. And I'm going to be talking about eternity. I'm going to be talking about life after death and new studies. There was two new studies that came out, and we're going to talk about both of these today. They're only going to, I believe, confirm or solidify what the Word of God says about when our heart stops beating in our chest and we pass from mortal to immortal. I want to say that again. Everyone listening today by via live or by rebroadcast, the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. So I don't care how young you are, how old you are, your financial or economic status, your political status. I don't care the color of your skin, whatever. You are one day going to die, or if you believe in the gathering of the saints, the catching away, the harpazo, the rapture, whatever you want to call it, again, two groups of individuals, those that are alive and remain will be caught up, or those that die. Many times the Bible uses a Greek idiom called sleep, those who sleep in Christ. Either way, a lot of individuals are going to die one day. Your ticket's going to be punched. Your clock is going to be punched. Your name's going to be drawn, whatever illustration you want to call. And you're going to stand before God one day. And another thing I want to say is we're going to prove this to you today, that every individual, when that time comes, if you have a covenant with God, you will be taken by angels of the Lord into a place called paradise. And I'm going to prove that to you today in the New Testament. Or if you don't have a covenant with God, a relationship with God, born again, found in the Lamb's Book of Life, you will also be carried away and you'll be taken into a place. I believe it's located in the center of the earth. And we're going to prove that to you today as well, in a place called hell, or Hades, which is a temporary holding chamber until the great white throne judgment, in which then you will be removed from there and thrown into the lake of fire that burneth forever and ever. So let's get after this. I want to talk about this. Let's talk about the point, or the first story that came out. This is from multiple sources, reported on as Frontiers in Aging Neuroscience, Hyperallergic posted this, and some others took up on the story as well. Look at this. Science confirms that life flashes before the eyes upon death. Let me read that again. Science confirms that life flashes before the eyes upon death. According to new research, life indeed does flash before our eyes when we die. I mean, he's ever heard this? I mean, you've heard this all your life. I'm 45 years of age, and I've heard there's that phrase, you know, I nearly died and my life flashed before my eyes, or in one form or fashion, or one way you can say that and another. It's so many people have said this. And when we shared this article on our main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, on our ETH Facebook page, there was many people that commented in the comment section below, and they confirmed this, and they said they experienced this. They saw their life flash before their eyes. It was like a film strip that was super accelerated, and they saw all these major points in their life, and they saw these things flash before their eyes. According to new research, an 87-year-old epilepsy patient unexpectedly passed away during a brain scan. And the scan discovered that his brain seemed to replay memories in the 30 seconds before and after his heart stopped beating. According to a recent study, again published in Frontiers in Aging Neuroscience, the patient, whose name was kept private, suffered a heart attack and due to this, resuscitate status, the scientists were able to track his brain waves throughout the final moments of his life. The scan was reportedly conducted by an international team of 13 neuroscientists out of the University of Tartu, I believe that's how you say that, in Estonia. The scientists were originally conducting I'm going to use the acronym here, the EEG. I'm not even going to try to pronounce this. Scans on the patient to detect and treat seizures. In doing so, the patient unexpectedly died while he was hooked up to this, and the EEG machine continued to run. This is very interesting, providing the scientists a first-of-its-kind glimpse into the brain activity of a dying human. Quote, this is why it is so rare, because you cannot plan this. According to one of the co-authors of the study, who told Insider, quote, no healthy human is going to go and have an EEG before they die, and in no sick patient are we going to know when they're going to die to record these signals. According to the report, the EEG brain scan found an oscillatory brain wave pattern in which activity in the brain's alpha, beta, and theta, I believe very theta or theta, how you pronounce that, bands relatively decreased, and activity in the gamma band relatively increased. It is thought that these oscillatory patterns and an increase in gamma waves suggest memory recall. Quote, the gamma band decreases external interference, allowing for deep inward concentration, like recalling memory. Similar brain oscillations occur during meditation and dreaming. This is the first time ever that this has been proven in a human being, although the concept looms large in our collective imagination or speculation. It comes back to us from people who have experienced near-death experiences, defined as when the brain has transitioned into preparing for death. And we're going to talk about more of that in just a moment as well. Research into these experiences has reported intense memory recall and panoramic review of one's life. They have also reported a hallucinatory and meditative state and a sense of transcendent and bliss. These accounts cross cultures and religions. Now, I want to emphasize something here, guys. Let's go back. Look, we are by no means exalting science above the word of God, but what we are doing is we're holding up science to the word of God. So let's go back to the word of God. What does it say? The word of God says that you and I are a tripart being, an individual, First Thessalonians, what is it? 5:23 says that you are body, soul, and spirit. Let me say that again. You and I are made up of body, soul, and spirit. Your body is the flesh of you. It's where the blood courses through. It's where your arteries are. That includes your flesh. It includes your organs. It includes your bones and your tissues. That's the flesh of you. Then you have the soul of you, which is your mind, will, and emotions. This is where your memories come in. This is where trauma comes in. This is where the good and the bad and everything from the time you're born all the way up, you experience these things and they become memories. They become experiences. You can, come on, your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. Let me go back to the flesh. Your flesh has 5 senses. It's got the hearing, the smelling, the tasting, the seeing, the touching. Your 5 senses are connected to your flesh. Now, what goes on on the flesh, and I call it, here's another illustration you can use. You have the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies, the outer court being the flesh of you, the inner court being the soul of you, and then you have your spirit, which is the Holy of Holies of you. When you're born again, your spirit is renewed. Your spirit is transformed. It's born into God. The Holy Spirit comes in and lives on the inside of you in your spirit man. Your soul and spirit are intertwined. They're connected. When you die, your flesh, the flesh of you, the flesh and blood of you, goes to the dirt of the ground. It goes back to the earth. It decomposes. But your soul and your spirit, again, will either go to one of 2 places. And now I'm saying this now because we are under a different dispensation. We are in the new covenant. If we were speaking old covenant, this would be a different story. But under the New Testament, under the new covenant, again, I'm going to prove all this to you in scripture. So we're going to go over this in more detail. To be absent from the body, this is to be present with the Lord if you're in the Lord. But if you're not in covenant with him, you're not born again, your soul and spirit will come out of your body and you will go to a place called hell. All right. Now, before we get into that, our first half of this segment is we're going to talk about these new findings. Then the second half of this segment, we're going to line it up line on line, precept on precept, here a little, there a little, and we're going to hold all this up to the Word of God, and we're going to show you what the Word of God says about this. Now, let me go to the next finding that just came out this past week. Look at this. Studyfinds.org released a new study. Quote, life after death, study reveals near-death experiences are not hallucinations. Let me say that again. New study is revealing that near-death experiences, or NDEs, are not hallucinations. They are not the brain firing off signals and making people hallucinate and making them see things that are not really there. No, watch. This is profound, guys. Listen to this. This question has, what happens after we die? This is a question that's been asked throughout time from the beginning. And the answer for the most part remains a mystery. It should not remain a mystery to us as believers, but to the world it does. A new study exploring what people experience when they are close to death has come to one important conclusion. Quote, near-death experiences are a real thing, even if we can't thoroughly explain them. According to the report, countless people have claimed that their life flashed before their eyes. That's what we were just talking about. Or that they've actually left their body and traveled somewhere else while close to Earth. Now, listen, I want to put a disclaimer up to all my Seventh-day Adventist brothers and sisters. They will completely refute this. They will completely shut this down. And they don't believe that this is possible. Even some of my, even other brothers and sisters don't believe this is possible at all. But I'm going to show you in the Bible, in the New Testament, where this took place. Critics have called these experiences, quote, hallucinations or illusions. But researchers from NYU Grossman School of Medicine say something else is actually happening. A team of researchers from several medical disciplines, including neurosciences, critical care, psychiatry, psychology, social sciences, and humanities, have all come up with a number of scientific conclusions after reviewing unexplained lucid episodes, which involve a heightened state of consciousness. The main finding is that these events do not have much in common with the experiences someone has if they are hallucinating or using a psychedelic drug. Instead, people who have had a near-death experience typically report five different events taking place. I'm going to read these five different events. Ready? Number one. This is a study they did with all these people that they had a near-death experience. Number one, a separation from their body with a heightened vast sense of consciousness and recognition that they're dying. We're going to bring this up in scripture, guys, so you just hang on. Don't get mad at me. Don't get offended. And turn the channel off yet. Number two, they travel to a different location. Keep all this in mind. Number three, a meaningful and purposeful review of their life involving a critical analysis of all their past actions. Basically, quote, their life flashes before their eyes. We just talked about that a while ago. Number four, they experience going to a place that feels like home. And number five, returning back unto their bodies or back to life. Researchers note that near-death experiences usually trigger a positive and, quote, long-term psychological transformation in the person. You think? How many believes that if you nearly die and you actually experience something in the spirit realm that exists that you can't see in the natural realm, or God gives you a glimpse into eternity for a brief moment, how many believes that's going to be pretty traumatic? And that's going to change. And how many believes that if you were not right with God and you experienced hell for a brief moment, and for whatever reason, God was merciful unto you, or people were praying for you and literally snatched you out of the flames of hell, I believe that would be classified as psychological, long-term psychological transformation. The team discovered that there's more to a near-death experience than just the stories each person tells. It turns out scientists can actually see physical changes taking place in the brain when someone is close to death. I propose to you, it's because, oh, come on, somebody, I'm going to prove it, all this. I propose to you the reason why there's physical changes being seen by the scientists is because their spiritual eyes, the veil is being removed, and they are experiencing where they are about to cross into, whether it be heaven, paradise, or hell, Hades, Gehenna, or Hades, or hell, whatever you want to call it. That's what I propose to you. Researchers discovered the presence of gamma activity and electrical spikes when people are technically dying. This is a typical sign of a heightened state of consciousness when scientists measure it using an EEG. The findings further back up the claims from people who say they, quote, left their body while dying. All right. Now, I could read on and on and on, but I don't want to. If I do that, it's going to take a lot of time from getting into the word on this segment. So let's go right into the word now. This is a lot to, I know it's a lot to digest, guys. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 and 6. Again, I'm going to read this again for those that are listening today by Spotify or Apple. We are in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 1 and 6. This is the Apostle Paul who's speaking to the church of Corinth. And the man in who he is talking about here is himself, according to almost every scholar and every theologian that I have studied under. Again, I want to say that again. Paul is speaking of himself in this story in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 through 6. And I want to emphasize this took place after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. New covenant after the death, burial, and resurrection. Ready? Quote, "It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ," again, he's speaking of himself, "who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or whether out of the body, I do not know. God knows. Such a one or such an individual, AKA himself, was caught up to the third heaven." Now, this is a lot. We got to stop right here. Okay. History, when you research this, you'll discover if you go back 14 years prior to when the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the church of Corinth, the event that took place when he had this incident was in Lystra, where he was stoned and left for dead. Thus, scholars believe his soul and spirit actually temporarily left his body and went into the, and I quote to you, third heaven. Now, where, I got to pull this away because I got to talk to you for a moment. Where is the third heaven? Answer, if you go to the book of Revelation, John sees saints in heaven under the throne room of God that are in robes of white that were slain for their testimony to Jesus Christ. I want to say it again. John saw in the book of Revelation, go study it in your own time. I'm not going to pull all these scriptures up for you guys because I want you to go do your own homework. John saw in when he wrote the book of Revelation, he saw souls under the throne room of God, which was a sea of glass, and he could look down below the floor of heaven, third heaven, where God's throne dwells, where the angels are. Under the throne of God, there was a place called paradise, and it's where the souls were there and they were resting until the fulfillment of all things and until, ready, the great white throne judgment, which is the final judgment. So we've got a big problem here for those individuals who believe that when we die, we, our soul and spirit, are sleeping in the dirt. Because if we believe this, then Paul is wrong here. I'm going to show you in a minute where Stephen is wrong. And John was wrong. Because all three of these encounters that these men have prove to you that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You don't go into a place of sleep. You're not in the ground sleeping into the resurrection of all things. Now, your body, your physical body decomposes and goes into the dirt, but there is coming an event, according to your Bible, that says in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, mortality shall be swallowed up with immortality. And in a tomosecond, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Don't ask me how he's going to do it, but at the voice, the shout and the trumpet of God, God himself is going to speak, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. God's going to get their soul and spirit, which is, again, hello, is already in the third heaven in paradise resting. They're going to be given a new body. And by the way, there has been research to prove that you don't need an entire physical body to be able to produce or reproduce the DNA structure. All you need is a small grain of an individual's flesh or their body or some part of them to be able to give an analysis or to present their DNA. So God is going to somehow, like a giant magnet, don't ask me to explain this. If Paul said it was a mystery, you expect me to unravel all this? But somehow, when God speaks, and why is this so profound to us that we can't believe this? When the same God spoke into existence. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He spoke it into existence. He said, let there be light, and light is still shining in the cosmos. He said, let there be planets. Let there be the sun. Let there be the moon. Let there be this. And he spoke it and spoke it and spoke it, everything. In fact, you are being held together by the word of God, because we were spoken into existence. Everything, the Bible says, everything is being held up by him, and by him were all things created that were created. So why is this so complex to figure this out, guys? He is going to perform a resurrection. But look, so watch this. Let me pull it back up. I got to go back here. Paul said he was caught up to the third heaven. Well, we know that he was not in the body, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. It cannot enter paradise. So it was soul and spirit that entered this place. Look at this. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows how he was caught up into paradise. Y'all thought I was making up that word. No, Paul coined it right there. And listen to this. While he was there, he heard inexpressible words, which were not lawful for a man to even utter. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth, but I refrain lest anyone should think of me of what he sees me to be or hears from me. So again, Paul again is telling us that he, can I say it like this? Paul experienced a NDE, near-death experience. I propose to you, and everything I'm telling you guys, again, many scholars and theologians will agree on what I'm saying. And that is, Paul was stoned unto death. He died in the streets of Lystra. And the saints gathered around him, come on, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and raised him from the dead. Thus, his soul and spirit went back into his body, because it was not yet his time. And he was not, come on, it was not permitted for him to pass before his time, because Paul had some more work to do for the kingdom. And no wonder, later on in Paul's writings, when he knew it was close to his time to depart from the earth to heaven, he said, in his own words, he said, I am hard pressed between the two. He says, on one hand, I want to go and be with the Lord, but on the other hand, I want to remain so that it can be fruitful on your account. You don't want to know? Listen, I'm telling somebody right now, I'm just going to preach it like I'm going to preach it, because it is my message. I'm going to preach it the way I want to preach it. Listen, if you die and you see, taste, smell, and touch the other side, come on, heaven, the glorious paradise, come on, and you see the streets of gold and the walls of jasper, and you see this and you experience this, you think, and you come back to your body, you don't think that you're going to have a hard time going through life knowing that that's waiting for you on the other side, when on this side, you got to deal with anguish, and you got to deal with pain, and you got to deal with backstabbers, and you got to deal with depression, working and you got to pay bills and you got to deal with depression and anxiety and worry and fears. Come on. But on the other side, John said that every tear shall be wiped away. There will be no more sorrow. There'll be no more pain. Come on, somebody. There'll be no more arthritis. Come on, I'm preaching to somebody right now. There won't be no more balding heads. Come on, guys. There won't be no, come on, cellulite in your legs. Come on, ladies. You won't have to wear your glasses anymore. You won't have to be in that wheelchair anymore. You won't have to have that cane anymore. You won't have to have assistance anymore. You won't have to take, come on, Prilosec and Allegra and Zyrtec and Zantac and all these other supplements. Come on, because we will have our glorious bodies. No wonder the Apostle Paul said this light affliction is but for a moment, but cannot be compared to the glory that shall be revealed. Eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of men what God has in store for them who love him, but he has revealed it unto us by his Spirit. Now, I want to talk about the location of hell. Why do I believe it's in the center of the earth? Now, listen, I'm going to go through this quick. I'm not going to put these up here, so you're going to have to listen to me. This is why we got it on podcast and on YouTube and on Rumble and on Facebook, so you can rewind it, you can pause it, you can take notes. From all references in Scripture, it is apparent to me, at least, that the location of hell is in the center of the earth or under the earth's surface. Here's your Scripture references for that. Ready? Psalms 55:15, Isaiah 14:15, Ezekiel 31:16-17, 2 Peter 2:4, and Numbers 16:32-33. Just to give you a quick synopsis of this, you go in the Old Testament, it talks about the sons of Korah being swallowed up and going down unto hell. They're all through these scriptures in Psalms and Isaiah and Ezekiel. It mentions hell and its geographical location. Its compass is pointing down. Down, not up, not left, not right, not in some kind of a mystical dimension out here. No, it all points downward. Down into the chambers of the earth. Now, in the Old and New Testament, there's interchangeable words for the word hell. For example, in the Old Testament, there's a Hebrew word called Sheol. And in the New Testament, there's a word called Hades. There's Gehenna. There's in 2 Peter 2, 4 and Jude 6, there's a Greek word called Tartarus. Some call it Tartarus. And then there's a New Testament Greek word called abusos or abyss. And this is referenced in the bottomless pit in the book of Revelation. Now, I want to prove to you New Testament, New Covenant, Luke 16. I'm not going to pull this up because this is a too much to put up on the screen. I'm going to read this to you and we're going to break this down to you. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus who was full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with crumbs which fell at the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Verse 22. This is Luke 16:22. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels unto Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes. Why did he lift them up? Because he's down below, and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. I'll explain more about that in just a moment. And then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. Listen to this, for I'm tormented in this flame. Verse 25, but Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime, you received your good things and likewise Lazarus received evil things. But now he is in comfort and you are in torment. There's a distinction here. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fix. This great gulf fix was under the earth, and it was a chasm that divided, and it was in Abraham's bosom that divided a lower chamber and an upper chamber. The upper chamber was what was considered to be Abraham's bosom. The lower chamber was Hades, and the upper chamber was the confinement of those who were righteous, who had died under the law of Moses. And under the bottom chamber below was those who died in their sins and transgressions, old covenant, Old Testament. But watch this. Listen, he says, then I said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. And Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. So this, again, when did this take place? This is not a parable. I've had people argue with me, this is a parable, this is a parable. Well, even if it was a parable, what is the conclusion? That there is a place of rest for the righteous and a place of torment for the wicked. Hello? But it is literal, guys. And we can back that up with scripture on scripture on scripture, Old Testament, New Testament. But listen to this. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead. Now, where are the dead? Below, under the earth here. Again, this situation, this event took place before the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It's in the New Testament, but this actual event right here that's being told by Jesus was an event that happened before he was crucified. And I'm going to show you what happened after he was crucified in just a second. But he said to them, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. So let's go over some facts here. Number one, there was a rich man who lived in luxury and comfort on the earth. Number two, there was a beggar whose name was Lazarus. Number three, this man was full of sores. We know that he lay daily at the gate of Lazarus. We know that he begged for food. We know that the dogs were licking his sores. And we know that he died. We also know that when he died, his soul and spirit, not his flesh, was carried by angels to a location called Abraham's bosom. Now, Abraham's bosom, again, this is referenced here, and I've explained to you what that was. All right, let me go over some more stuff. Ready? The rich man also died and was buried. Ready? The rich man immediately was in torment in Hades. Notice he wasn't sleeping in a grave waiting for the resurrection. No, he died and he woke up in torment, in torture, and in the flame. Number three, the rich man, look at this, lifted up his eyes and he saw Abraham and Lazarus in this compartment in the underworld. So remember, here's this rich man, and he's looking up, and he sees Abraham and Lazarus in a place of rest above them. But he cannot go to them, and they cannot come to him, because there's a great gulf fix between them. Now, here's what's terrifying. Ready? According to Luke 16, the rich man had all five of his senses operating after he died and was buried. Let me say that again, because this is sobering. The man died, and when he died and opened his eyes in torment, he had all five senses. Ready? He said he was in torment, pain, and suffering. He could feel that he was burning. He was able to see because he saw Abraham and Lazarus afar off. He begged Lazarus to dip his finger in water to cool his tongue. He was, again, being tormented in the flame. Now listen to this. He was able to remember his life on earth and the opportunities that he had to repent and get right with God. He remembered that he had brothers that unless they repented, they would end up in this place of torment as well. Guys, that is sobering. That is terrifying. Unlike heaven, where there is no remembrance of things that grieve us, pain, anguish, suffering, anxiety, torment. There is no remembrance of this. In hell, it's the opposite. You will remember every time you were given an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you rejected the free gift of the gospel of Christ. Or you refuse to repent and get right with God. Now, look at this. Now, so what happened between this event and the crucifixion? If you go into, I'm not going to pull all these scriptures up. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, what does the Bible say? He hung between two thieves, one on the left, one on the right. One mocked him, and the other said, "Lord, remember me when you enter unto your kingdom." And Jesus looked at the man on the cross and said unto him, "I tell you the truth, today," not in the future, not at the resurrection of the dead. Come on, I'm preaching this today. He said, "Today, by the time the sun goes down today, you will be with me in paradise." Stop. Paul mentioned paradise in 2 Corinthians 12 post resurrection, and he said it was located in the third heaven. So watch this. When Jesus looked at the thief and said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise," he did not mean in Abraham's bosom. He meant the paradise that Paul described and saw with his own eyes and experienced. And he wrote to the church of Corinth in 2 Corinthians 12 when he had a near-death experience, or he was stoned unto death and his soul and spirit came out and he saw paradise. So I don't know about that. Watch this. When Jesus gave up the spirit, according to the book of Ephesians, before he ascended, he first descended and he went into the lower parts of the earth. Stop. Why did he go into the lower parts of the earth? Hello, because that's where Abraham's bosom was. That's where the righteous souls of those who died under the law of Moses were held in confinement, and a great gulf fixed was between them and the wicked. So Jesus went into the lower parts of the earth. Read it. It's in your Bible. And he preached to the spirits of the dead. Now stop again. If the spirits of the dead were sleeping somewhere or wherever they died, as the Seventh-day Adventists teach and others, isn't it interesting that Jesus went into the lower parts of the earth and he went to one location and preached to the spirits, plural, of the dead? Why? Because they were all there. And watch this. The Bible says, out of the testimony of two or more witnesses, let every word be established. Jesus brought the thief with him from the cross, went into the lower parts of the earth, preach to the spirits of the dead. Come on. He was preaching to Isaiah down there. He was preaching to Jeremiah down there. He was preaching to Ezekiel was down there. Daniel was down there. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Amos, and Hosea, and Haggai. When Jesus began to preach, I'm telling you, listen, I can't prove this, but I tell you, I believe with all my heart, he began to reveal himself all the way from the writings of Moses. Come on, the Torah, which is the Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. He began to reveal himself. He said, I am the spiritual rock that led the children of Israel out. I was there. Come on. He began to reveal himself in all these writings of the prophets. And Jeremiah spoke up and said, that's the one whom I spoke of. Isaiah stepped up and said, that's the one I said was coming. Haggai stepped up and said, that's the one I was telling you about. And they knew it was Yeshua. It was the Messiah. It was Jesus. And the Bible says, watch this. Let me go back up to earth. Come on, y'all learning something today? But meanwhile, back on earth, the Bible says there was, after the crucifixion, there was a great earthquake that took place in Jerusalem, so great that it ripped the veil of the temple in two. Ripped the veil of the temple in two. And your Bible says that the graves of many of the saints of old were opened, and the saints were seen walking the streets. Question, where did those saints come from? A, and B, who were they? The answer is A, they came from Abraham's bosom because Jesus just set them free. And B, they were those who had died under the law of Moses. So watch this. Here's another question. Because these are questions I've asked, and the Lord, and I believe with all my heart that the Lord revealed this to me. These are legitimate questions. So the question is, have you ever asked yourself this? Where in the world did all those people that came out of the grave go? Have you ever asked yourself that? Where did they go? I believe the answer is in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, I believe, gives you the answer to that. Verse 9, I'm not going to pull this up here, but I'm going to read it to you. Now, when he had spoken these things, Jesus appeared to them. This is after his resurrection. While they watched, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now, when we think of the word cloud here, we always think of a puffy white cloud, but you can look up the Greek word for cloud, and it's the same one that's in the book of Hebrews where it says we're surrounded about with such a cloud of witnesses. The word cloud is a Greek idiom that was used during the time of Roman soldiers, and it described a legion of soldiers, or a great army of soldiers. Now, when you understand that and you read this, watch this. He was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. In other words, he was welcomed and embraced by a great multitude of individuals. Who are these individuals? The saints that were raised up from Abraham's bosom, and the thief being one of them, because Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. And come on, I'm moving locations from down here to up there. Watch this. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel and said to them, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Stop. Listen what it says. This same Jesus is going to return in the same manner that he went into heaven. He's going to return from heaven. Well, that's interesting, because when you go to the book of Jude, and I'm going to turn there, Look what Jude says. In Jude 14, it's only got one chapter, Jude 14. Ready? Now, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, look at this. Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. Now, where's the Lord coming from? Someone talk to me. Heaven. Who's he coming with? Tens of thousands of his saints to execute judgment on all. Guys, he's coming back with the saints. Now, I've got more. We're almost done. I know this is a lot. Some of y'all is going to get, like, your brain is already fried from all the information. Let me pull this away here. Let me go to 2 Corinthians 5, 1 and 8. I'm not sure if I got this scripture or not. Let me see here real quick. Yes, 2 Corinthians 5, 1 and 8. All right, look at this. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church of Corinth still. For we know that if our earthly house, somebody say our earthly house, that's not talking about the house that you live in, that your TV's in, your couch is in, and that you have termite control over and pest control. It's talking about your flesh house, these earth suits where our soul and spirit dwell in. Listen to this. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Come on, it's your eternal body. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. I talked about that earlier. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. Now, what is he talking about here? He's talking about walking in righteousness with God and serving the Lord until that time comes. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed. That, look at this, mortality may be swallowed up by life. Verse 5, now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, ready, we are absent from the Lord. Let me say that again. As long as you and I are in this tent and this body, we are absent from the Lord. Where is the Lord again? He's in the third heavens. This is where, right now, present tense, he's in heaven. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. Now watch this. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Verse 8, we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be sleeping in a grave? No. To be present tense. Be present with the Lord. That's 2 Corinthians 5, 1 and 8. Now, I'm going to blow you away what I'm about to show you right here. I want to make sure, I don't even know if, yes, I did put this up. Okay, I'm going to get ready to pull something up here. I'm going to show you. I want to go back to the studies. Remember, it said that individuals have been, they have journaled and noted that individuals experience, see, they feel, they hear things before they pass from this life to the other. Y'all got that? Everybody's on the same page, right? Now, was that seen in the Bible? Yes. In the book of Acts, chapter 7, if you have your Bible, you can turn there with me. I'm in the book of Acts, chapter 7, verses 51 through 60. In the context of this, Stephen is standing up and he's given this discourse, and he's basically telling them, the religious leaders of the day, how they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes all the way back to the Torah and he begins to expound on Christ and he gets all the way. Then he gets to verse 51. And listen to what he says. Now, who's he speaking to? The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the teachers of the law. He says, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the just one, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers. You have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it." Now, what was their response? I'm going to pull up the rest of the scripture here so you guys can follow along. This is in verse 54, Acts 7, 54 through 60. Look at this. "And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart," or they were convicted, "and they gnashed at him with their teeth." I mean, have you ever seen somebody so mad they're gnashing their teeth? "But he, being full of the Holy Spirit," look what it says he did. "He gazed into heaven." Now, where's heaven? Up. "He gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God." And by the way, this is a really cool thing to note here. All through the scriptures, it said that Jesus is seated or sitting at the right hand of the Father. But Stephen, listen to me, is about to be stoned unto death. And God supernaturally removes the veil from his eyes. He experiences heaven and sees the Son of God, not sitting, but standing at the right hand of the God. I'm going to explain to you why Jesus was standing and not seating as we get to the end of this. Ready? Verse 56. Stephen said, "Look, I see." So he's pointing. "I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." And they cried out with a loud voice, "Stop their ears." They're plugging their ears. They don't want to hear this. "And ran at him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of the young man named Saul," who would later on become Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament. "And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God, saying," now listen to what he's saying here. This is important. Quote, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Remember, he looks up, he sees Jesus. Jesus is standing, and he says, "Lord, receive my spirit." And then he knelt down. Now, this is happening, guys, while they're stoning him. They're throwing rocks at him. They're big, huge boulders and stoning him. He knelt down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Again, that is a Greek idiom for died. He did not fall asleep and took a nap and they dug out a hole there and buried him so he could be, and he's still sleeping there today. No, that's not what it means. But watch this. Why was Jesus standing and not sitting? Because in the Old Testament, when the high priest, come on, somebody, would make atonement for the sins of the people, he would stand up and he would take the blood of the basin and he would begin to sprinkle the blood and he would make atonement for the people. The reason why Jesus, when Stephen looked up and saw Jesus not seated but standing, is because he was about to make atonement for the people that Stephen was saying, "Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they're due." And Jesus was answering Stephen's prayers and he was making atonement. Oh, come on. I don't know if I believe that. "Even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for you and I, man. I felt the Holy Ghost go all through my body right there. I'm telling you, the grace and mercy of God is just coming on this podcast right now. And I think this is a good time to close this right now. I'm done. I don't have any more to preach about, but while the Holy Spirit is moving, because you guys know me, I am a Spirit-led preacher. The Spirit of God is moving right now. I'm telling you, there's somebody on here right now. There could be somebody or somebodies, and the Spirit of God is moving on your heart. You're not right with God. You don't know. If you were to die right now, you don't even know if you'd make it into the kingdom. And I'm telling you, you should have died many times. You should have been in car accidents that took you out, drug overdoses, alcohol situations. You could have died here and there in whatever circumstances, but somebody was standing in the gap for you, a grandmother, a grandfather, a mother, a father, an aunt, an uncle, a brother, a sister, a friend, somebody who is born again and filled with the Spirit of God. They have been crying out to you. They've been praying for you, and they've been interceding for you. And when the devil wanted to come and take you out, Jesus, just like he told Peter, he looked at Peter and said, Peter, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith faileth not. Come on, somebody. I'm trying to tell somebody today, you better be thankful for the prayers of somebody that has spared you in times that you never even knew about and times that you did know about. I'm talking about things you shouldn't have survived, things that were impossible. And it's the reason why is because the devil try to take you before your time. The devil try to take you prematurely. But come on, the people of God's praying for you. And because God himself has a plan for you, and he's had a plan for you since the beginning of time, from the foundation of the earth. And today is the day. Today, it's time to stop playing games. Today, it's time to stop straddling the fence. I'm telling you, today, if your heart was to stop beating in your chest today, you're either going to go down into a place of torment, a place where the worm dieth not, a place of eternal darkness, outer darkness and weeping and gnashing of teeth, a place of fiery torment and separation of God. Or you can get right with God today. You can repent today. You can accept Christ today. You can get your house in order today. And if your heart was to stop beating today, you would to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and it's your decision. So right now, I pray for every individual under the sound of my voice, whether live or by the rebroadcasts. God and God alone knows where you are in your relationship with Christ today. Right now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I ask him to convict you, just like the men that was standing there with Stephen. It says that they were pricked at the heart. I pray the Holy Spirit begin to prick your heart. He would begin to arrest you and convict you of your sins today. If you're not right with God today, if you're backslid from God today, if you're away from God today, or if you've never accepted Christ today, I pray the Holy Spirit would lead you unto repentance and to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, the Bible says that God is not slack concerning his promises, as some count slackness, but he is long suffering, and he wills that none perish, and that includes you, but that all come to repentance and to the saving knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So right where you're at, wherever you're at, I want you to pray. It could be a 30-second prayer, but if you mean it from your heart, if you repent and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you and cleanse you. Listen, I'm going to pray. You can pray with me. You can repeat what I said, but I would like you to pray your own prayer from your heart. Jeremiah said, these people come and they draw near to me with their lips, but their hearts far. Listen, if you don't mean this in your heart, then it's just a bunch of vain, empty words. But Lord Jesus, we come before you today, and we ask today that you would forgive us of our sins, forgive us of our transgressions and our trespasses and our iniquities. Lord, we ask that you would wash us today by the precious blood of Jesus, that you would forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Lord, that you would inscribe our names today in the Lamb's Book of Life. We choose you today. We renounce the world today and the lust of it, and we embrace you and your kingdom today. Holy Spirit, come and live on the inside of me and lead me and guide me and direct me from this day forward and all the days of my life. Lord Jesus, teach me to be the father you've called me to be. Teach me to be the husband you've called me to be. Teach me to be the wife you've called me to be. Teach me to be the mother you've called me to be. Teach me to be the man and the woman of God you've called me to be today and for all the days that you've given me on this side of heaven. And it's in Jesus' name I pray, amen and amen. Listen, friends, if you meant that in your heart, I'm telling you, by the word of God, all of heaven, the angels, the saints of old, all of heaven is rejoicing over one sinner that gives their heart to the Lord, or over one prodigal son or daughter that comes back unto the fold. Come on, hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand, a praise clap, a thank you, Jesus, a hallelujah, or something today. Come on, you receive this today. So listen, we pray that this word today has been a great word of encouragement, exhorting, information, edifications, or all the above. Please don't forget to share it. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to hit the push notifications. And again, if you've not downloaded our free app, what are you waiting for? It's free. Everybody likes something free, right? It's free. It's on Apple. It's on Android. If you're listening, you can just type in End Time Headlines at your Play Store, Apple Store, whatever device you got. You can download that app. If you're watching today, right there on your screen, just download the app. Look for the ETH logo. Get it into your hands. You're going to get all of our headlines. You're going to get all of our podcasts that you can either watch or listen or both at your leisure. And it's going to be a great blessing to you. I promise you that. And as always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity. We don't want to leave the broadcast. Listen, as you've been blessed, we pray that you would pray about becoming a monthly partner or whatever the Lord puts on your heart, whatever your relationship with this ministry. For some, this is your home church. And we get that. We understand that because I'm telling you, I understand true biblically sound, doctrinally sound, spirit-filled churches are hard to find anymore. And if you're in a circumstance where that's not available to you, then we welcome you. We want to encourage you. We want to love on you. We want to bless you. We want to help you. We want to help disciple you with the help of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And we do this week after week after week. And if this ministry is a continual source of blessing, just pray about what the Lord would have you to do. You can give two different ways. You can give electronically through the app or the website, or you can give right there on the screen by check or money order, and you can make it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, that's Monroe, Georgia, 30655. And as always, guys, thank you for taking the time out today to be a part of our broadcast. We're going to sign off for today. I think we're going to take off tomorrow because I have to teach tomorrow at our church on Wednesday nights. I teach Bible prophecy classes on our church. So we're going to take off from podcasting tomorrow, but we will be back on Thursday and Friday of this week. I told you we got a full lineup this week. We got a lot of stuff going on. We want to cover and we want to talk about. So until then, may the Lord bless you. May he keep you and may his countenance be upon you in Jesus' name. God bless you guys. We'll see you on Thursday.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.